Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha for Marhum Sayyid Mas'ud Hussain ibn Sayyid Tashuk Hussain Sayyid Muhammad Agha ibn Sayyid Tashuk Hussain Marhuma Khadija Bano bint Sayyid Muhammad Laila Bano bint Sayyid Muhammad Farukh Jamal Farukh Jahan bint Sayyid أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم النظر إلى وجه العالم عبادة صلوات إسلام has given significant importance to knowledge. Seeking the knowledge, practicing upon the knowledge, and disseminating the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And this fariza and duty, how the Prophet calls it, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ Seeking knowledge is a fariza, an obligation on every Muslim man and woman. This fariza and duty is a duty that spans over the entire life of a human. So, starting from the cradle to the grave, أُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ مِنَ الْمَهْدِ إِلَى اللَّحْدِ Islam is a religion that provides teachings which are applicable on a person while the person is in the cradle. And Islam is the religion that provides teachings which are applicable on a person while he is on the deathbed. What we call alamul ihtidar, the person who is in We call it muhtadhir in our fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence. The one who is about to die is called muhtadhir in the time of sakaratul maut. Naza ka alam, jise hum Urdu mein kehte hain. So we have rulings for all those situations, both of those situations and the middle stage of the human life. So the knowledge that Islam talks about is an all-inclusive knowledge engulfing the entire human life. And there's nothing which misses out from Islamic teachings, whether the political duties of Islam or the social obligations of Islam or the financial obligations of Islam or the family matters or the personal matters. And hanging around with scholars, mujalasatul ulama has been considered as a value in Islam. When you plan to hang around with somebody, hang around with either the ulama or the fuqara and masakeen. That was the seerat of the Prophet. And that was the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Then when they were hanging around with somebody, that somebody was either an alim, a knowledgeable person. Nobody can be as knowledgeable as the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were, obviously. But the ones among their companions who love knowledge and love seeking knowledge, those were the people who strive for knowledge. Or they used to hang around with the fuqara and masakeen, the destitutes and poor people in the city. So we are not here to hang around in gatherings which are rich only gatherings, where the poor people are blocked out. This is against the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He never did once in his life to sit in a gathering where there are only the rich people around, not even once in his life. And never happened in the life of the Prophet to sit in a gathering where there are rich people only who are invited. So in Islam, we learn that Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, if 40 days pass by that a person does not show up in front of an alim, if 40 days pass by that a person doesn't show up in the huzur, in the presence of an alim, this guy becomes qasiyul qalb, stone-hearted. Understand that showing up in front of an alim is a value that we cherish about, and it's required to maintain our spirituality. And if we don't show up in the presence of an alim, then we are heading towards becoming qasiyul qalb, stone-hearted. Well, qasiyul qalb is the stage number one. And then it's the guy is heading towards becoming shaqiyul qalb, which is stage number two in ilm ul akhlaq. Because first a guy becomes qasiyul qalb. came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam and said, "I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything against your grandfather. I was there in Karbala alongside with those people who gathered to kill your grandfather, but I didn't do anything against him. I didn't throw an arrow. I didn't charge upon them with any sword or something. I didn't do anything. I was just standing on a hilltop and actually I was praying for your grandfather. Is there a way that I can be forgiven?" And Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Inshallah, Allah will never forgive you." See Imam Ali alayhi salam, the way he was with his justice, some of the followers may end up denying him. This is not the kind of Ali that we believed in, because they are into injustices and unfair behaviors in their personal practices. They want extra favors. And Imam Ali is not that type of person to give a single extra favor to anybody or to bend even a millimeter, an inch, on his justice-based policies. That's not Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we need to learn about Ahlul Bayt the way they were. Imam alayhi salam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Shimr came before slaughtering my grandfather and he had a look at the crowd. And when he saw that number of people," which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations, and this and the future narrations in my own words, in these speeches. So Imam alayhi salam said, "Shimr came and had a look towards the crowd. And when he saw that number of people standing, his heart became strong. And because of the strength that he gained, he became encouraged to slaughter my grandfather." So even those of the people who were standing on the hilltop and praying for Imam Hussein but not supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, will go to the same place where all the rest of the Ashqiya are going, without a doubt. Isn't that right? That's what we understand in the light of the hadith. So it is very important for a person to not to reach to a state where we become shaqiyul qalb, because that's the point of no return. Nobody can turn back from that stage. We can turn back in ilmul akhlaq before reaching that stage. If a person is qasiyul qalb, that's possible, we can turn back. So Imam Ali alayhi salam was told by the Prophet, if 40 days pass by and a person doesn't show up in the presence of an alim, he becomes qasiyul qalb. No 40 days in our life should pass by like this. But then the point to note is that who is an alim? Is an alim a person who memorizes some istilahat and terminologies to impress the ignorant people? Is that the definition of an alim? Certainly not. An alim is the one who has the nur of ilm found in his qalb. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in Kitab al-Kafi, al-ilmu nurun yaqdhifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha'. Kitab al-ilm, you open up the chapter, there's a whole chapter in Kitab al-Kafi, chapter of knowledge. Kitab al-ilm, Bab, you open up that chapter and you'll find this hadith that knowledge is a divine light. Knowledge is a nur. Look at how Imam Sadiq al-Islam is defining knowledge. Knowledge is a nur that Allah drops into the heart of the one he wishes. So we obviously understand that knowledge doesn't come from the books. Isn't that right? Books are just one of the tools and means to help, not the sole means to lead you towards the nur in the qalb. One of the tools. Maybe it's a leading means, maybe it does not lead to the destination. Depends. So that's why our scholars have defined in very clear words that any alim whose knowledge is based on the books is not entitled to be called an alim. Because in ulum al-anbiya ladunniyatun, knowledges of all the prophets of God are ladunni. All the prophets of God have ilm ladunni, given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Prophet says, Al-ulama o warasatul anbiya, scholars are inheritors of the prophets. How can you inherit the prophet, any prophet of God, when the prophet of God, his knowledge was divinely awarded, whereas your knowledge is not divinely awarded into your soul, it's based on the books. How can you inherit the prophets? Doesn't make any sense at all. In order for you as an alim to become inheritor, to be entitled to be called inheritor of the prophets, you need your knowledge to be based on divine ishraq, divine flash on your soul, in order to be called an alim who is inheritor of the prophets. So Sayyid ibn Ta'us says in his book, I can discover the beginning of the month without looking at the sky. Sayyid ibn Ta'us says in his book, I can discover about the beginning of the month without looking at the sky. So all the scholars who have the ishraq on their soul are the ones who have the noor in their qalb. That's why our scholars say there are three ways in Islam to learn knowledge. First is the hiss, the five senses. We see things, we hear things, isn't it right? We use the five senses to discover the knowledges and learn. That's the first means. That is the most limited means of learning, and the range of this means and this tool is extremely limited. Because the range of your five senses is limited, isn't it right? You can only see as much, so much of the things, isn't that right? You can only hear to so much decibels, to so much decibels of the voices, isn't that right? So the range of our five senses is extremely, extremely limited. So any alim or knowledgeable person whose knowledge is based on the books or based on the five senses as a tool to learn has an extremely, extremely, extremely limited knowledge. The means number two for learning the divine knowledge is aql, intellect, which is pure and untainted by the human desires. The knowledges that you learn and discover through this second means and tool are way vast as compared to the first tool, because the domain of human intellect is vaster and more wider as compared to the domain of the five senses. You can think and comprehend and ponder about things that you never see. Isn't that right? So the domain of intellect is wider and has a more panoramic view as compared to the domain of the five senses. But this is what the regular people can also understand, you know, that we have these two tools of learning knowledge, the first two. But Islam is a religion which is superior and distinguished from all the rest, because Islam is the only religion that talks about the third means and tool for learning knowledge that no other religion can talk about. And that is qalb. Seeking knowledge through the soul. This is the means which only Islam can talk about, because no other power on earth and no other academic institution on earth can tell you nothing about your soul. You get 100 degrees from Harvard or Berkeley or Sorbonne or Oxford, and nobody can tell you nothing about the reality of the ruh. Because no human beings knows nothing about the reality of the ruh. Isn't that right? So no matter how much intellectual you may get, you still stand in need of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in the same fashion, same way, just like any other person who is an illiterate guy. There's no difference in that. We still continue to be muhtaj and needy towards all the prophets of God and all the imams in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically the final word, because there is nobody who can tell me anything about the soul. No, nobody knows anything about the soul. So Islam says this is the third means of learning knowledge, and Quran says ittaqullaha wa yuallimukumullah. That means seek the taqwa of Allah, have the taqwa of Allah, and Allah will teach you. If you have taqwa, Allah Himself will teach you. So we find that if we have the taharat of the qalb, that's why I remember Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi always used to say, you know, the tazkiya pish ta'allum ast. Purification of the soul is ahead of learning. First thing first, if you want to learn, we are talking about the learning related to divine flash, which is the real definition of knowledge in Islam, as we are discussing Mujalasatul Ulama tonight in this madlis, hanging around, sitting in the presence of the scholars, which is a value promoted by Amirul Mu'mineen and promoted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we find that if you have the tazkiya, if you purify your soul, Allah Himself will provide through His own ways and means, He will arrange for you to receive the divine nur of light, nur of ilm in your qalb. Allah has His own ways. If we have taharatul qalb, isn't it right? So we find that there are three things, brothers and sisters, which have been extremely emphasized. And when you turn to the Urafa, the pious great personalities of Islam, who don't have the hijabat and curtains of sins on their soul, so they have their vision of soul intact and they can see the realities and haqa'iq and malakut. كَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُقِنِينَ. That's how we showed Ibrahim the hidden realities of the heavens and earth. Malakut means the hidden realities, batin. كَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُقِنِينَ. So that he be one of those who have yaqeen. So Islam wants all the believers to become Ahlul Yaqeen. Allah loves for all the mu'mineen to become Ahlul Yaqeen. So we can start seeing the batin, hidden realities of the things around us. And when we see the hidden realities, we will never bend and compromise over our values and principles, no matter who comes and asks us to sell out the values and principles of the religion. We will never bend because we are seeing the realities. You bend on your principles because you don't see your principles. You have heard about those values, but you have never seen them. Those of the people who have seen, they never bend. Anybody who compromises over his religion, job pe ja rahe hain to hijab utar ke ja rahe hain, center aa rahe hain to scarf chadha liya sar ke upar. Isn't it right? If you want to call me at my workplace, call me Sam. Don't call me Sayyid. I said, not me. No way. No way. If you want me to call you, I will call you Sayyid. Or I will never call you if you like. I will never call you. But I will never tell a lie. Sir, aap to barai naam deen ka difa nahi kar sakte, to kaam kya khak karenge Islam ke liye? Aap barai naam Islam ka difa nahi kar sakte, to kya kaam karenge aap imam-e-zamana ke liye? और दावे कितने ऊंचे ऊंचे हो रहे हैं, बैठे तो बात करें नहीं, हमसे अच्छा तो कोई चाहने वाला नहीं है अहले बैत का. 17 साल से हलीम की मजलिस होती है हमारे यहाँ. मजलिस हलीम की नहीं होती, मजलिस इमाम हुसैन की होती है. दावे तो आई कैन मेक अ मिलियन क्लेम्स अबाउट माई सेल्फ, इट डजंट कॉस्ट मी नो मनी, इट्स चीप, इज़न्ट इट राइट, इट्स फ्री ऑफ कॉस्ट. सो द पॉइंट इज दैट, द पॉइंट टू रिमेंबर इज दैट, when we are talking about purity of the nafs, when we have the taharat of the qalb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leaves His awliya, His beloved servants alone. Inna Allah la yudhi'u awliya'ahu. Allah never leaves His beloved servants alone. Allah has His own ways. Khuda apne ilahi raston se dastgiri karta hai. Allah has His own ways of helping His beloved servants. So Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulpayegani rahmatullahi alayh, such a great arif of the glorious year history, his son said that my dad went to the haram of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam and he requested from Imam Ali alayhi salam, please take away this vision of my soul away from me. Because he used to see the people in their real faces, you know, in different forms of animals. The real face of the soul that the people have because of their evil spiritual attributes. You know, you go to your house, you find instead of this and this person sitting in the house, you find this and an animal sitting there. Isn't that hard to tolerate? You go to your workplace, you find so many bunch of animals are sitting instead of the humans. Isn't that hard to tolerate? You go and meet your friends, you find they are a bunch of animals instead of humans. Did Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam had said in his hadith, لَوْ تَكَاشَفْتُمْ مَا تَدَافَنْتُمْ. Agar tum log kashf kar lete, jaan lete, parda kushai ho jati, dekh lete ek dusre ko, to dafn bhi na karte ek dusre ko. لَوْ تَكَاشَفْتُمْ مَا تَدَافَنْتُمْ. If you guys had discovered about each other, you would not have even buried. You won't have bothered to bury each other. You won't bury each other. Just leave the corpse like that and just walk away. Who cares to bury a dog? Isn't that right? That's not part of the hadith I'm explaining to you. So his son says, my dad went to the zari, to the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he requested Amir al-Mu'mineen, please take away this vision of the qalb because I cannot stand it. It's very hard to stand that. He was one of those great scholars who didn't have the hijab art. So see, when you can see your soul, you can see the souls of others. Those of the people can see the souls of others who are able to see their own soul. Man arifa nafsahu faqad arifa rabbahu. If you are unable to see your own soul, you can never see the souls of others. And when you can see the souls of others, because you can see your own soul in its real form, then and only then you are able to predict the future. So this scholar, this is the scholar that we are talking about. These and the likes are the ones that we are talking about. When we say al-alim, that's the real definition of an alim who does not have any hijab on his qalb. That's the real definition of an alim who can see the haqa'iq and the batin and malakut. So my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri Hafadahullah was saying that the minimum a mu'min is supposed to do in his life is to become the madhar of at least one name of Allah, which is Al-Wali. At least one name, Al-Wali. Allah is the master and the ruler. Wali means hakim. Walayat means hukumat. Isn't that right? Wali means hakim. So at least the bare minimum required for every mu'min. We are supposed to be mazhar and reflection of all the names of Allah. Isn't that right? The Prophet has said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. That means, in other words, mold yourself with the divine moralities, with the attributes of Allah. So Allah is Sakhi, you need to be Sakhi as well. Allah is Kareem, you have to be Kareem as well. Allah is Rahman, you need to be the Mazhar of Rahman, which is one of the hardest things to become. Allah is Rahim, you have to become the Mazhar of Rahim. Isn't that right? So you adapt yourselves and your spirituality with the divine names and become a reflection. So you reflect like a mirror reflects. That's the kamal and perfection of a human. Look how high the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were trying to take us. So my teacher was saying the bare minimum required from a mu'min in his life is to become the mazhar of at least one name, and that is Al-Wali. Allah is Hakim and ruler. And if you, when you become the mazhar of that name, you will rule your soul. The reason why some people end up getting driven away by their desires to do various types of harams, attachments of this dunya, running after money, holding extra or holding respects for the rich guys around, and not caring about the poor people around them, is because they don't have control over their own soul. They are so poor. Their soul is a destitute and miskeen, because they themselves have no control over their own soul. When you don't have control over your own soul, you don't deserve to hold any position in Islam. Isn't that right? Because you don't deserve that. You have a weakness. Didn't the Prophet say to Abu Zar, when Abu Zar came, narrated in multiple narrations from Sunni sources and Shia sources, the Sunni narration says Abu Zar Ghafari came to the Prophet and asked him, "Ala tasta'miluni ya Rasulullah?" Won't you, basically, in other words, give me some position in your government? And Prophet said, "Inni uhibbu laka ma uhibbu li nafsi." I love for you what I love for myself. Look at the greatness of Rasulullah. How he's making the muqaddimah and prelude to make his point. The Prophet first said to Abu Zar, "Inni uhibbu laka ma uhibbu li nafsi." I love for you what I love for myself. And then he says, "Innaka dha'if." You are a weak person. "Wa innaha amana." And the mansab, the position, is an amanat. In other words, it's an amanat, an entrusted trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ There's the مضمون الرواية. وَإِنَّهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنَدَامَ And this is a matter of insult, humiliation, and repentance on the Day of Judgment. So if anybody occupies a position but he is not deserving and he messes up, this anybody who occupies a position that he does not deserve, this guy is going to be insulted on the Day of Judgment and would repent. So Prophet didn't give any single position to Abu Zar, although he belonged to the ninth level of Iman. So in Islam, we have positions awarded to the pure, those who have the taharat. For those who don't care about positions, in some of the narrations we find a bunch of people came to the Prophet and said the same thing, "Won't you give us some positions?" And Prophet said, "We don't give positions to those who demand it." Prophet said, "We don't give positions to those who demand it." Look at the criteria of Rasulullah. Look at the criteria of Ahlul Bayt. That's why they were hated by the Kuffar and Munafiqeen, because of their strictness on their justice. They never bent. Why we bend on our values? Because we are not Ahlul Yaqeen. Why the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and those of the followers of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt who are Ahlul Yaqeen, those of the Urafa, never bend in their lives in front of all the global pressures and arrogances? Because they are Ahlul Yaqeen. So the Ahlul Yaqeen, the Prophet who's Ahlul Yaqeen, is bound to say, if they put the sun on my right hand and the moon on the left, he's still not ready to give up his propagation of Tawheed. Isn't that right? And Imam Ali alayhi salam had the right to say, "Law kushif al ghita mazdadtu yaqeena." If the curtain is removed, it's not gonna increase in my yaqeen and certitude. So everything which is behind the curtain is already visible to Imam Ali alayhi salam 24/7, because he is Ahlul Yaqeen. He sees all the things. وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ I swear to Allah, I never saw a thing, Imam Ali says, I never saw a thing except that I saw Allah before seeing that thing, and after seeing that thing, and along that thing, and in that thing. وَفِيهِ In that thing. This is how much Ahlul Yaqeen he is. the climax of yaqeen and certitude. So they deserve to call us to become Ahlul Yaqeen. So Ahlul Yaqeen should never bend in their principles and values. Rest of the people are supposed to keep on making changes in their lives because they don't have yaqeen. They're not seeing the realities. You don't bend when you see. If there's a ditch in front of you and somebody comes here and asks you, please, why don't you just jump or step into this area, this zone. You're not going to step into that zone because you know behind that there's a ditch. This guy's not seeing it, but you know there's a ditch. You're seeing it. What if 10 people show up and ask you, please jump into this area. Are you going to jump? What if 10 million people come and ask you, are you going to change your policy? It doesn't matter they are 10 million or 10 billion because they are not seeing it. You are seeing the reality. Why would you bend? Because you have yaqeen. Isn't that right? That's the sha'an, that's the status of Ahlul Yaqeen. They never bend in their policies. They should not. So we find that people came to Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi as well, that why have you given this hukum against the one who insulted the Holy Prophet? And Imam, maybe just establish, you know, good relations with the European Union, exchanging economic commissions, accepting the resolution 598 of the Security Council of the UN. So let our government become financially strong, and later on you may have given the hukum. And Imam replied, is the dignity and izzat and abru of Rasulullah more, or the dignity of the entire country of Iran more? Look at his perspective and vision, and look at the vision of some of those silly who don't see the realities. So the Ahlul Yaqeen should never bend because they are Ahlul Yaqeen. They must not bend because they are Ahlul Yaqeen. Isn't that right? We don't give in to this, to the himaqat of the silly people. Who cares about them? So we find that Ayatollah Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulpaygani went to the haram of Sayyidul Shuhada and in the haram of Sayyidul Shuhada, it is mustahab to go to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein throughout the year, but specifically on the day of Arafah, 9th of Zulhijjah. A lot of sawab, which is the day of Arafah, Yawmu Arafah, when the Hajis go for Hajj. It's a lot of sawab in Islam that you go and visit on the day of Arafah. Well, I was saying, that there are a few things which are considered to be extremely important in the eyes of Islam for anybody who wants to get elevated to spiritual levels. First of all, ihsan bil walidain, doing good behavior and dutiful behavior towards your parents. This is one of the keys to get elevated spiritually and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and close to Ahlul Bayt, and close to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. One of the great personalities was talking about that all the high spiritual levels that I achieved in my life was because of some good deed that I performed towards my father. And he woke up in the time of the night prayers, Salatul Layl, and he prayed for me at that time. See, dua ul walid li waladihi is mustajab. Dua of the father for his son or daughter, whatever, is mustajab and accepted by Allah. If you have some du'as, go and ask your father to do du'a for you. If your father is dead, go to his grave. Stand next to his grave, and Allah, because of your father and you paying a visit to his grave, because of that, Allah will fulfill your hajat inshaAllah, because you visit the grave of your father. So ihsan bil walidain is one of the greatest clues in when we talk about the purity of the nafs. And the second thing our scholars emphasize, and Urafa emphasize a lot, as we are talking about the purity of the soul, is praying in the fazilat time. Namaz ko awwal waqt mein padhna, fazilat ke waqt mein, awwal waqt mein. Ayatullah al-Uzma said, Qadi Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, who's the one of the greatest urafa of all times of our history and the teacher of Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, Sahib al-Mizan, he had said, Ayatullah said, Qadi Tabatabai had said that if you pray your prayers in the beginning time of the prayers, even though your prayers does not have khushu'ul qalb, it is still good. Even though you don't have khushu'ul qalb, it's a very big statement, because khushu'ul qalb is required for qabuliyat and acceptance of the amal for the prayers, isn't that right? But he's saying, even though you don't have khushu'ul qalb, but you're praying in the awwale waqt, the beginning time, that's good. So praying the prayers in the beginning time has a great value in Islam. And third of all is the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The ziyarat of Imam Hussein is an extremely high value. Whatever dua you want to seek from Allah, go to the haram of Imam Hussein. No matter how much hardship you have to face in that way, every hardship is a great reward. Every hardship. You go to the haram of Rasulullah, you go to the grave of the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, you go to the grave of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad. It is mustahab that you go to the, before visiting the haram of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, you do the ghusl of ziyarat. Isn't that right? But when it comes to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam does not say it is mustahab to do the ghusl of ziyarat. Not at all. Not at all. Allah wants you to visit the qabr of Imam Hussein with the same ghubar and dust that has settled over your body. That dust particles also hold a value in the eyes of Allah. But this is about Imam Hussein. كل الخير في باب الحسين. All the khair and goodness is at the door of Hussein. The paradise has 8 doors. Isn't that right? The hellfire has 7. Another beautiful discussion of Islam. Why the 7 and why the 8? Another beautiful discussion of Islam, but that's not our subject. So, and one of the 8 doors of paradise, it's written on the door, Babul Hussein. It's called Babul Hussein. The door of Hussein. And the door of Imam Hussein, it's called, actually not written, it's called Babul Hussein. And the door of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the widest of all the 8 doors of paradise. There is no other door of paradise which is as wide as compared to the door which is the door related to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So ziyarat of Imam Hussein is the greatest, one of the greatest values that we cherish about. And Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulbaygani, this arif that we are discussing tonight as we are talking on the subject of Mujalasatul Ulama, sitting with the scholars, he went to the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Arafah for the ziyarat, which is extremely high level mustahab and recommended act of Islam. But when he went to the haram, he found that there was a huge crowd. He sat in a corner, he sat somewhere in the sahan, in the courtyard. You cannot push the people, you know. You cannot do a haram for the sake of performing a mustahab. Isn't that right? That's how some people do, how silly they are, pushing the rest of the people so that they can touch the zari. You think touching zari is wajib in Islam? Imam Hussein cannot listen to you without you touch the zari? Is that what you think? So you are pushing the rest of the mu'mineen and doing a haram so that you can perform a mustahab? Is that the level of your basirat? You think you can get close to Imam Hussein with that level of insight? That's how some people are, so silly. So he sat in a corner, he sat somewhere because there was a large crowd. He cannot push the people to enter. He's not an ordinary person, he's an arif. And he found that there's a young man showing up. And he said salam to him. And Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulfaghani rahmatullah alayh replied back to the salam of this young man. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he appears in the form of a man of 40 years of age. That's how he appears. Asmarul lawn, whitish color. Ala khaddih al-ayman khalun. There's a mole on his right cheek. Aqnal anf, pointed nose and connected eyebrows. Wa ajlal jabha, that means the forehead is white. That's the description of his face, his height, his appearance, his body, exactly similar to the Prophet. No one is as similar as him. No one can be as similar as him to the Prophet. He is the only person who is the most similar in the entire humanity. So we find that Imam alayhi salam came and said salam to Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulfaghani. He replied back the salam and said, you want to go into the haram? In other words, he said, yes, but there's a lot of crowd, so I could not enter. He said, follow me. So Imam is walking in the front and Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulfaghani is walking behind the Imam. Imam had a jalal and haybat. Every masoom has a jalal and majesty and haybat. Isn't that right? Farazdak, when he talks about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in front of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik la'natullahi alayh, he says, you know, yughzi haya'an wa yughza min mahabatihi fama yukallamu illa hina yabtasimu. So Imam is such that people can't talk to him because of his majesty and jalal unless he smiles. You know? So yakadu yumsikuhu irfana rahatihi ruknul hatim idha ma ja'a yastalimu. Every pillar of the Kaaba has a name assigned to it, and Farazdak says in his qasida, in his poem, that when Imam Sajjad came to kiss the black stone, that pillar is called Rukn al-Hatim, where the black stone is located. Rukn al-Hatim, that pillar, that corner of Kaaba, was about to grab the Imam and not let him go because of the beautiful smell that he got from the Imam. So our Imams have a majesty, isn't that right? So every Imam has a majesty. They don't need anybody to ask them to open up their way. It gets opened up automatically because of their jalal and majesty and haybat and sha'an and azamat. So the path got opened up. Imam is walking inside the haram close to the zari, and Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulfaghani rahmatullahi alayh walking behind the Imam. Finally they reached next to the zari, and then of course they recited the Iznud Dukhul, the permission that we have to read before entering into any of the harams of Ahlul Bayt. We require the permission. Allah has said in Holy Quran, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. Don't enter into the houses of the Prophet unless it is permitted to you. We don't enter into the haram of Ahlul Bayt without we recite the Iznud Dukhul. We seek permission from the Masoom before entering. These are part of the adab and etiquettes. So after reading Iznud Dukhul, they entered. And then the ziyarat was started. Reading the ziyarat. And finally, when they reached the 12th Imam, that spot was reached, then Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Salam said to him, say salam to the Imam. That means the Imam of your time. And Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulfaghani said, As-salamu alayka ya sahib al-zaman. And Imam alayhi salam looked towards him and said, wa alayka salam. He replied back to him then and there. And also what he did, he put his hand into the pocket, Imam alayhi salam, and he gave him a coin. He said, I received the coin from this person. He did not recognize at that time that he's the Imam. So he got the coin, and when he got the coin and he looked at the Imam, he found he's gone. He's no longer there. And as soon as the Imam was there, people started to rush, and basically his Imamah fell down because of the crowd, and he was thrown out by the mob outside of that room where the Zari is located. So we find that this is the kind of alim we are talking about. Those of the scholars who have the taharat of the qalb, those of the scholars who have the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flashing on their soul. Salawat. It is considered to be an alamat of the shaqi person. You know, لِلشَّقِيِّ سَلَاسُ عَلَامَاتِ. Didn't the Prophet say, a shaqiyul qalb person, a stone-hearted or even worse, has three signs. And that's where the Prophet talks about the three signs. Al-ijtinabu anil ulama. A shaqiyul qalb person will avoid the scholars. Was-salatu wahdahu. A shaqiyul qalb person will pray alone. Qutul haram. Eating the haram. These are three signs mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam about a shaqiyul qalb person. Consumes the haram, avoids the ulama, and prays alone. Instead, the person who is sa'id and sa'adat mand, someone who is spiritually and eternally successful in the dictionary of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, this is the person who has mujalasatul ulama. He hangs around with the scholars. Wassalatul khams bil imam. And he prays the five time prayers with the imam. Qutul halal fi baladihi. And having halal food in his country. So we are supposed to cherish about these values that have been told to us. And the real scholar, you know, the person whom we are supposed to sit with, you know, when somebody asks Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Ya Ruhallah man nujalis, O Ruhallah, whom are we supposed to sit around with? And he replied, Man yuzakkirukumullaha ru'yatuhu. Someone looking at whom will make you recall Allah. Man yuzakkirukumullaha ru'yatuhu. وَيَزِيدُ فِي مَنْتِقِكُمْ فِي عَمَلِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. And his speech increases in your amal. وَيُرَغِّبُكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And his action makes you raghib and keen towards akhirat. That's the kind of person we should sit around with. That's how we are supposed to do. And that's how it used to be in the gatherings of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They always used to speak up. They were never silent. So if people are asking questions, they would respond. If nobody is asking a question from the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt, they themselves will speak up and initiate, because they are supposed to speak, because all they are doing is spreading noor. If they don't speak up, then who else has the right to speak up in Islam? Anybody who has the ma'rifat, the law of Islam is totally different about them. For an ordinary mu'min, Islam says, stay silent. Don't speak. Unless you must. And when you have to, speak only the haqq. But when it comes to the urafa, the law of Islam is totally opposite. Islam says, don't stay silent. Speak up. If you don't speak, who else can speak? Because the urafa are the ones who are spreading the noor. That's why we are supposed to sit around with them. Mujalasatul ulama. An-nadharu ila wajhil al. The hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where Prophet says, looking at the face of an alim is ibadat. And Prophet said, ma min alimin aw muta'allimin yamurru bi qaryatin min qura al-muslimin aw baladin min bilad al-muslimin lam ya'kul min ta'amihi وَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ مِنْ شَرَابِهِ. There is no alim or a religious student who passes by any town among the towns of Muslims or any country among the countries of Muslims and he did not eat from their food. Let's suppose an alim or a religious student who is seeking the knowledge of Akhirat, comes to any city or any town, and he enters from one side of the town and exits from the other without eating the food of the people of that town, without drinking the drink, any drinks from the people of that town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allahu azaba quburihim 40 yawma. That's the Maghmun riwayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the azab of the graves of that community for 40 days. Just because one alim or one religious student who was seeking the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt passed by through this city, and he did not eat nothing, he did not drink nothing, he was just passing by through the town. The azab of all the graves is terminated for 40 days. That's the respect of a scholar. It's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to send our children to the Hausa, so that tomorrow we don't have this shortage that we are facing today. The future of America and the Muslim communities here is a very dark future if we did not live up to the expectations of Islam. And there are so many of the states in this country where we have centers but no alim. And it's our responsibility to realize our fariza and to fulfill our obligation. So we find that because the people were worshipping dunya, so Karbala happened because of that. Karbala is an incident where worshippers of dunya, lovers of this dunya, hubbud dunya, had killed the hubb and muhabbat of Allah, the ishq of Allah. Muhabbat and hubb and love of Allah was killed by the lovers of dunya. Lovers of Allah were killed by the lovers of dunya. Isn't that sufficient to hate this dunya? So we find how much lowly a person can get, that now they are distributing ab sadqe ki khajurein اہلِ بیت کو تقسیم کی جا رہی ہیں. کتنا انسان پست ہو سکتا ہے اہلِ بیت کو, جن کے اوپر صدقہ حرام ہے, صدقے کی کھجوریں اہلِ بیت کو دی جا رہی ہیں. کتنا انسان پست ہو جاتا ہے. یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ جب کربلا سے کوفہ میں وارد ہوا تو اب کوفے کی خواتین کھڑی ہیں, کوفے کے لوگ کھڑے ہیں, تماشائی کھڑے ہیں, اور اہلِ بیت کی بیبیاں برہنا سر, بے مقنع و چادر, بازار کوفہ, کوفے کی گلیوں سے گزاری جا رہی ہیں, اور تماشائی چھتوں سے بازاروں میں گلیوں میں کھڑے تماشا دیکھ رہے ہیں. کوفے کی خواتین نے رونا شروع کیا. شہزادی ام کلثوم کیا کہتی ہیں کہ تقتلونا رجالکم و تبکی علینا نساؤکم, تمہارے مرد ہمیں قتل کریں اور تمہاری عورتیں ہم پہ گریہ کر رہی ہیں. یعنی وہاں بھی جہاد کو ترک نہیں کیا جناب ام کلثوم نے, وہاں بھی جہاد کر رہی ہیں, قیدی ہیں مگر جہاد کر رہی ہیں, جہاد کو ترک نہیں کیا. تمہارے مرد ہمیں قتل کریں اور تمہاری عورتیں ہم پہ گریہ کریں, یعنی کہنا یہ چاہ رہی ہیں تم ہی لوگوں نے تو ہمیں قتل کیا ہے, اب گریہ کس بات کا کر رہے ہو. تو اب صدقے کی کھجوریں دی جا رہی ہیں, اہل بیت کے اوپر رحم کھا کے صدقے کی کھجوریں دی جا رہی ہیں. کیا فرمایا ہے, ان الصدقه علينا محرمه, صدقہ ہم پر حرام ہے. چنانچہ بچے سے کھجوریں لے کے ہٹا دی گئی, کھجور لے کے ہٹا دی گئی. ام حبیبہ آگے بڑھتی ہے اور شہزادی زینب کو پہچانی تو نہیں. شہزادی زینب کے پاس آ کے کہتی ہے, کنیز ہوا کرتی تھی نا ام حبیبہ امام حسین کے گھر میں, شہزادی زینب کے ہاں کنیز ہوتی تھی. ام حبیبہ اب کوفے میں آ کے آباد ہو گئی, پہچانی نہیں شہزادی کو, آگے بڑھ کے کہتی ہے جو میری والی کھجوریں ہیں نا وہ صدقے کی نہیں تھی, میری والی کھجوریں نظر کی تھی. تو اب شہزادی پوچھتی ہے تمہاری نظر کیا تھی, تو اب کہتی ہے کہ میری نظر تھی کہ اللہ مجھے توفیق دے کہ میں اپنے مولا حسین اور شہزادی زینب کی زیارت پہ جاؤں, ان کی زیارت مدینہ جاؤں. یہ سنا تو شہزادی کہتی ہے اب تمہیں مدینہ جانے کی ضرورت نہیں کیونکہ زینب خود تمہارے یہاں آ گئی ہے. ایک مرتبہ تڑپ گئی, چاہنے والی ہے نا, تڑپ گئی, ارے کہاں ہے میری شہزادی, کب آئی, مجھے تو خبر ہی نہیں ہوئی. شہزادی کہتی ہے اگر زینب کو دیکھو گی تو پہچان لو گی. ام حبیبہ کہتی بے شک میں پہچان لوں گی, کیوں نہ پہچانوں گی, ارے وہ تو میری آقا زادی ہے, یہ کیسے نہیں پہچانوں گی. روایت میں ہے شہزادی نے ایک مرتبہ ام حبیبہ سے کہا کہ میں ہی زینب ہوں, الفاظ نہیں کہ زینب میں ہوں, یہ سننا تھا. ایک مرتبہ ام حبیبہ ابھی بھی باور نہیں ہوا, ابھی بھی یقین تو نہیں آیا, اب شہزادی سے کہتی ہے, ظاہر ہے ام حبیبہ نے کہاں زینب کو بے مقدہ و چادر دیکھا تھا, ظاہر ہے ام حبیبہ نے کہاں شہزادی کو رسن بستہ دیکھا تھا. ارے کیسے پہچانے ام حبیبہ, کیسے پہچان لے. اب کہتی ہے شہزادی زینب سے کہ میری زینب کی تو علامت ہوا کرتی تھی کہ وہ کبھی بھی اپنے بھیا حسین سے جدا نہیں ہوتی تھی. زینب اتنی یعنی محبت تھی, بالفاظ دیگر ارے اتنی محبت تھی کہ کبھی اپنے بھائی حسین سے الگ نہیں ہوتی تھی. یہ سنا تو شہزادی نے نوکے نیزہ کی طرف اشارہ کیا, یعنی وہ مولا امام حسین کے سر کی طرف اشارہ کیا, وہ حسین کا سر ہے, زینب ابھی بھی حسین سے جدا نہیں ہوئی.
الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون انا لله وانا اليه راجعون الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. وإلها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما. تمام علماء ربانیین, تمام مراجع کرام, بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ. تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما. تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. باعلہ ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں. ان کے ظہور میں تعجید فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین یا حسین.